This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and it is the 16th of June, 2011. Today, I am honored to be joined on the line once again by Jesse Trinidou, the Salt Lake City-based attorney who has been at the forefront of prying out government documents related to the Oklahoma City bombing, something he has been investigating since the murder of his brother in an Oklahoma federal transfer facility in August of 1995. Jesse Trinidou, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us once again.
Mr. Corbett, thank you for having me.
Well, Mr. Trinidou, I would at this point strongly urge any listeners who have not yet done so to go back and listen to our first conversation earlier this year regarding your pursuit of the truth about the Oklahoma City bombing, as we're going to be picking up directly from that conversation. And as listeners may remember, the last time we talked, you were in the midst of preparing to go into court to get a federal judge to rule on whether the FBI was required to do more than merely say they had searched their records for FOIA requests, such as the request for information about the Murrah Building surveillance tapes. So since then, obviously, you've been to court and there has been a ruling on that issue. So tell us about the ruling and the interesting new revelations that have emerged from that courtroom.
Well, the ruling, in my mind, is phenomenal. And I don't say that out of any sense of pride. It wasn't me necessarily that brought it about. What happened is we were before a federal judge on the issue of the missing surveillance tapes from the cameras on the Murrah Building on the morning of April 19, 1995. According to leaked government documents, these surveillance tapes show, and I quote, the bomb detonating 3 minutes and 6 seconds after the suspects exited the vehicle. So they have actually videotape of McVeigh and the others delivering the bomb to the Murrah Building on the morning of April 19, 1995, and the bomb exploding. Now, you would have thought that would have been Exhibit 1 in the McVeigh murder trials, but no one other than apparently the FBI and a very few people within the FBI have ever seen those tapes. I sued to get those tapes. The FBI came back and represented to the court that it had, and its agents had looked extremely hard. I think they said really, really hard for those tapes, and they just couldn't find them. And the judge didn't believe them. He ordered them to go back and do a manual search and gave them until June 30th, the next 2 weeks from now approximately, which to be back before him and tell him the results of that search. More importantly, what came out during that hearing was the existence of a secret evidence retention storage place called the S Drive. And it came about during the course of the hearing as I related to the judge the history the FBI has of concealing information, including evidence, that it does not want to turn over to defense counsel or to release to the public under a Freedom of Information Act request. And for the listeners to better appreciate this and understand it, it's important to know that in most matters, the FBI opens what's called an official file. And if someone is under investigation for a crime and eventually charged with a crime, the official file is supposed to contain all of the evidence, both incriminating evidence and exculpatory evidence. And this file is turned over to defense counsel. Also, when someone files a Freedom of Information Act request, it is the official file the FBI searches for records and documents to produce. Starting, and I'm sure it existed before this time, but I learned during the course of this fight that during the 1970s and 1980s, the FBI had what was called a June file, and I don't J-U-N-E, and I don't know if that's an acronym for something, another name or whatever, but the June file was where they placed evidence and other materials and information they did not want to disclose to defense counsel in criminal cases or make public through a Freedom of Information Act request. The June files came to light in the late 1980s as a result of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. I next found that uncovered the fact that after the June files were revealed, the FBI implemented another evidence hiding system called the Zero Files, Z-E-R-O. And this served the same function. Information, evidence, documents, other materials that the FBI did not want to turn over to defense counsel in criminal cases or make public through a Freedom of Information Act request went into the Zero File and just disappeared. And so if you filed a Freedom of Information Act request, the FBI would look at the official file and come back and report there was nothing there that you might be searching for if it was this type of information. After the Zero Files were revealed, I found out that then, and as a result of my lawsuit, that they implemented the FBI implemented a new system called the iDrive. And it served the same function as the June files 2 decades ago, the Zero files a decade ago, and the iDrive was implemented apparently in the late 1990s and into the 21st century. So we're in court. And I am arguing and the fact that the FBI has this elaborate system, a continuing, evolving, living system almost, for hiding. Hiding the truth, hiding evidence, hiding embarrassing information or whatever it is that they do not want the public or defense counsel to see in criminal cases. And so I reached the point of the iDrive. And suddenly, the attorney for the FBI interrupts and advises the court that the iDrive is irrelevant. And the judge says, why? And the attorney says, because we replaced it with the S-Drive. And that caused all kinds of commotion in the courtroom because that, to my knowledge, is the first time there's been a public acknowledgement by the FBI that they do now have an S-Drive. And part of the order the judge issued is by June 30th of this year, the FBI has to also report back to him the function of the iDrive and S-Drive and whatever other drives they have out there that may be used or are being used to conceal. And so June 30th should be an interesting day.
I have no doubt about that. It's going to be extremely interesting to see what they come back with. But one would imagine that given the incredible extent that they've gone to in the past in order to try to hide documents and files and evidence, one would imagine that there would still be tricks up their sleeve. I mean, if they can just change the names of these things over and over to try to continue to hide it from people, I mean, it's almost farcical.
Well, it is, and they're still 24 unused letters in the alphabet. So I expect more from them.
Absolutely. Well, it's rather mind-blowing to even hear about this. But okay, so we have this S-Drive, and they're expected to say something about how this functions and what they're using it for in the next couple of weeks. I understand that they have already gone on record to say that that the S-Drive simply stands for shared drive and that there's nothing untoward about it, but I assume that that's unlikely given the history of these types of hidden document files.
I do not believe that. I think it's a do not share drive myself. And what is the purpose for it? I mean, originally when they were exposed on the iDrive, they said, well, that's where we put evidence and other things so that superiors can review them before they're sent on to the official file. Well, why is there any need to sidetrack evidence in a criminal case into an iDrive so it can be looked at and then at the discretion of the official sent on to the superior sent on to the official file? And as I understand it, and as it was explained to me, that the FBI represents that there are certain irrelevant matters in criminal cases that shouldn't make their way into the official file. And apparently some of the irrelevant information happens to be exculpatory in a number of cases, and I could see how the FBI would think that's irrelevant, since it doesn't further the prosecution.
Absolutely. Well, I see that too. So we're going to be hearing in the next 2 weeks then. So I guess what is the next step?
Well, they're supposed to, the judge in his order gave them a list of things they had to do by June 30th, as I said, to report back to him on the I drive and S drive, to do manual searches. And this is significant, to do manual searches, not only of the for the surveillance tapes, to search manually the Oklahoma City field office, the FBI crime lab, and FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, that is a powerful order to say, you go to all three locations this evidence is most likely to be, and you look manually for it, because in the past they've always said, we did a computer search, and of course we can't find anything. Well, they search different systems, evidence systems on the computer, and not the location where the evidence you're looking for is kept. They search by a word index, and they admitted during the course of this hearing in front of the judge here in Salt Lake City that they make the decision as to what is indexed. So if they decide to leave off, for example, Murrow Billing surveillance tapes, you'll never find them with a computer search. If they have a discrete evidence file, a manual file on every case that's kept chronologically, that identifies the evidence obtained and says where it's located and being stored. So the judge has ordered the FBI to go back and do these searches at these three locations for these surveillance tapes. And if they find them, and I'll say if, because the significance of those tapes. Remember that the official position by the Department of Justice and the FBI was the bombing has been solved. It was Tim McVeigh, Terry Nichols, and Michael Fortier. And according to the FBI, McVeigh drove the truck to the Murrow Building that morning by himself. And now suddenly we have a truck full of, quote, suspects, unquote, one of whom I'm almost positive was an informant working for the FBI. And that's why they do not want those tapes revealed.
So the stakes here could not be higher. I mean, in 2 weeks' time, we could theoretically see the release of the most damning evidence against the FBI and its really in its organizational history in many respects.
It would implicate them in as having prior knowledge about the attack on the Murrow Building,
which they had then premeditatively covered up for 2 decades.
Yes.
Well, so absolutely, this is of monumental importance. For that very reason, I realistically think that they will probably not come back with that evidence. But still, it is absolutely incredible that you've gotten them to this stage and that the federal judge has given them these orders. So absolutely, you have to be commended for your part in this. And we're going to be keeping an eye on this at the Corbett Report. So as soon as you hear anything about this, please let me know, and I will definitely let the listeners know, as I'm sure many, many people are very interested in how this develops. But any other thoughts you'd like to add about the S drive or the significance of these types of tricks that the FBI has been using?
It reflects a culture of dishonesty. A mindset to hide and deceive that has been, I think, the emblem of the FBI since its formation in the 1930s. I mean, there's no purpose for that, those hiding places. Their job is to investigate, gather all the evidence, incriminating evidence, exculpatory evidence, put it into the official file, and then let the judicial system serve and run its course, serve its function, you have trials and people are found guilty or they're acquitted based upon the evidence in the file. It is a gross violation of the Constitution for an investigative agency working for the government, such as the FBI, to cull out and conceal from someone accused of a crime the evidence that would acquit them. And they have a history of doing that. I don't expect them to change now. They've been exposed one more time. They'll come up with a new system. In fact, it's probably in place right now.
Well, unfortunately, probably quite correct. But still, nevertheless, the fight against that and the legal battle that you've been waging for years is absolutely not futile. And I think absolutely you have to be commended once again for your service to humanity in attempting to expose this information. So once again, thank you so much for all of the work that you're doing. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. And for your interest again in this story.